Thank you. We are going to get started. Welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for being here. This is the City Council study meeting for the City of South Jordan, and today is Tuesday, June 3rd. Can you even that it's June? I'm shocked.
Crazy.
It's crazy. June 3rd, 2025. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with our outstanding City Council seated here with me and our city administration, who are many of them here. Thank you for being here. All of you who are here, we welcome our staff, we welcome our residents, the visitors, presenters, everyone who's here to be part of this, and anyone who may be joining us online or watching this later, we welcome each of you. We are going to open tonight's meeting with an invocation by council member Kathy Johnson.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we're able to meet this day. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to serve this great city. We ask thee to please bless us that we will be able to discern the things that will be in the best interest of our community. We're so grateful for all those who live here and for especially all those who strive to make this a wonderful community. We ask thee to help us to listen to one another and to counsel together and to make the best decisions that are possible. And we pray for these things through my son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. A reminder, I'm going to start making this reminder more often. I try to remind folks in our different meetings, but I'm going to remind you in here too. A couple of times a year, we put out a reminder. Anyone who would ever like to give an invocation, whether it's a poem or a thought or a prayer of your choosing or anything to start out our council meeting, anyone is welcome to contact the city recorder and sign up to do that. We'd love to have you come do it. Okay. Coordination. Anybody have anything specific that you would like to coordinate this meeting?
Are we going to go over Summerfest here later?
Parade.
Yeah. In fact, I can do a couple of things really quick for you. Great. If you want. Mel's put together the package, so your shirt, your hat, your tickets for the breakfast, they're all put together in a packet for you. One of the things that I need to have you be very aware of is the location for the breakfast has changed. It is not at the fire station. So typically this is where we had breakfast before, over here at the fire station. This year the breakfast will be back here at this corner of the park. So there's a map in the thing that'll show you that. What we would ask you to do is, if you'd like, you can park at the public works. You can park in the yard. We've made it so that your access cards will unlock the gates to get you in there. Just if you park in there, be sure you don't block any doors or equipment or anything.
And you have to remember your access card.
And bring your access card. If you fail to bring the access card, you're welcome to park in these three yellow lots. You'll have to walk over here to the breakfast site. The parade drivers will pick you up. They will have pre-staged the vehicles here. They will pick you up. You'll get to preview the route as they bring you back around to the start. Remember, we have to be to the start at 8:55.
Is that that little pavilion play area right there?
Yes, there is a little.
Okay, so we're having breakfast to the side of that.
Yep. So these are the softball fields. They're going to be just right here, so directly behind. If you forget and go to the fire station and don't see anybody, just keep walking until you get back here. Now, if you'd like, you could also park over at City Hall and leave your car here at City Hall. And then when we end the parade, you can get in your car and go wherever. If not, you can stay in the truck. We will take you back to Public Works. And then you can come over and watch the rest of the parade if you'd like.
Okay. So the parade route is the same?
Parade route is the same. Just this breakfast spot has changed. And so, you know, the carnival used to be over here. It's now over here. We have a lot more space. We can do a lot more activities and safer for everybody involved. So, but yeah, you'll have a packet upstairs for sure, tickets, everything. We hope we see you all weekend.
Be on our desk when we get in there. Or do we have to go find them?
I'll have to answer that. I know that they're all put together. I just don't know where they're at. They're in a nice bag.
Right now, they're still upstairs. So after the meeting, we can run upstairs and get them if you want.
Yeah, if they don't bring them down and put them at your seats there, I'll make sure you get them after the meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And she's going to put one of those maps, I think, in everybody's packet.
One of these maps will be in there. And if you have any questions at any time, just give me a call.
Yeah, very excited for Summerfest. Sad that the float preview is tonight. It's tonight.
Yeah.
But
I love that.
Our city float made me so happy. Oh, my goodness. I took a picture of it, and I can show it to you. I love it. I really, it's so good. So it's fun, really fun. Tonight will be fun for everybody who's there. We hope a lot of folks show up. Anything else to coordinate tonight specifically? I think the most critical thing at this point is Summerfest this week. There's
Mulligan's Bash tomorrow night.
Tomorrow's graduation day for both Bingham and Harriman High School down at UVU. So I will be there from very early until very late because one's at 8 in the morning and one's at 6 o'clock at night. And they're long. So I'm not, there's no way to come home in between. I won't even get parking again if I leave. So I'm going to stay the whole day. No, but they always, I get invited and I never know. We're getting a new principal at Harriman High. I don't know if they'll invite me, but I get a letter from their senior class officers inviting me to come and sit on the stand and participate and be there. So, yeah. Yeah, so as long as I'm invited, I will show up. Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so graduation tomorrow. It's another big thing for our city. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to just going over our agenda. I have one question for Janelle. Is Karen Tucker going to be here with
you? Yes.
She'll be here.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to introduce, I'm going to mention Janelle, have you introduce it, and welcome Karen Tucker as well as the director. Okay. Okay, and then we get, I love this part, we get our youth council end of the year report. So the youth mayor is going to come give a youth council report. They have a lot to report. They've done a lot. They've been busy and they serve so well everywhere. And then the new oath of office for our new youth council will be administered. So we'll probably have a lot of parents in the audience, probably a lot of folks here. And then Jay Francis will be here to give the South Valley Chamber of Commerce annual update, which is always so good as well. So, yeah, that's like all that kind of stuff.
He's excited.
Yeah, that's good. I'm looking forward to it. We all know we see Jay literally everywhere. He's everywhere. He works hard. He shows up and he's fantastic. The South Valley Chamber's been really good for South Jordan City. And then we have some simple action item that is really solving a 20-year-old situation. You want to go over that really quick?
Yeah, in fact, I would turn to Don T. He can give you a really short synopsis, but this is helping us clean up an issue from about 20-plus years
ago. Starting in 2001, when the Glenmore Service District was dissolved and the city took over city had already taken over the maintenance of all the parks. But they dissolved the Glenmore Service District and the park property was never transferred to the city in ownership. And we were in the process of submitting a grant and they needed a deed to the park and we did not have one. So this will give us the deed so we can submit to the grant. It's one of those, it's not a priority till it's a priority. And so, so this will allow us to have a deed and get it recorded and get all those five parks and 12 properties into the city's name.
So we've been trespassing all this time?
Right. Yeah, kind of. Actually, the city council is the defunct special service district.
We often get
you're
called defunct, I'm pretty sure.
you're giving yourself permission to give yourself the land.
That's so effective.
So effective.
I thought it was interesting to see Brad Marler's name on the old resolution.
I know, we should have done this in December.
Yeah.
Let him do it for his first action and last action.
That would have been great.
It would have.
That really would have been great.
It's so nice to get this taken care of, though. It really is.
Rick Course gave me the assignment to do this in 2006. So
I'm going to tell him that
it's the longest to-do list, and I don't know if I'm more excited or Matt Jarman. It'll be great to have
it. Get it off the list.
That's good. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Thank you. I just saw that Sam Bishop walked in. Sam's on our planning commission. Thanks for being here. Okay. So we have that, and then we have a couple of public hearing items. Adopting a final budget for the redevelopment agency. And for the city for our fiscal year 25-26. So, our 2026 fiscal year. But 25-26. So, we'll have the opportunity to ask Sunil any additional questions that we have, and it's all been sent out. Don sent in some good questions as well. And then we also have compensation and a very small right-of-way easement, vacating a portion of the right-of-way on Easy B Road and Lake Avenue. Easy B Road. I mean, you don't even have to think hard to guess where this is, Lake Avenue and Easy B Road. Any information we need to know about that before the meeting? Or?
I don't think so.
I think so.
The team to see. I think that one's pretty straightforward. It's pretty similar to the rest that we've done in that area.
Yeah. It's just square it up some little tiny pieces.
Same number of lots.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything on that.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody have any other questions about any of that? Okay. We'll have lots
of
questions.
Did you have a chance to talk with the staff about the issue I raised?
I did. And I will tell you about it. It will be explained, but actually, well, we can explain it now if you want. The increase, our city is doing a smaller increase than most of our neighboring cities because it's what we can afford, and we're not stretching ourselves to an unhealthy limit, although that's really all we can afford this year. I don't think it's going to come back to bite us, but everyone, including everyone, not just city senior staff. Everyone, 1%, except the STEP plan. Employees on a STEP plan are on a little bit different system.
So that's
everybody else is at
1%. Council as well.
Everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I misunderstood that.
Yeah. So
that's, you noted that's council as well, which is why we have the resolution with your you listed also for the next 3 years. We did it last year with you listed for 3 years, but that was assuming 3%. So that we put it back in there, adjusted the numbers to reflect what is actually happening.
Yeah, so everyone's
otherwise asked. we wouldn't have done that.
And just to be clear, it says COLA on that, but it's really a merit. It's only, we're not doing a COLA this year, we're doing a 1% merit. So it's only those employees that meet expectations in their performance will get the 1%. That's it.
That's smart.
No COLA there.
Yeah. Hang in there with us. Okay, if there's no other questions about the regular agenda, let's move on to our presentation items. We're excited about quite a few of these. We have South Jordan Arts Council member appointment. We're going to turn to Janelle Payne to introduce us to a candidate for the Arts Council.
Can you put up there like normal?
Yes, please. Okay. Yeah.
Notice there's no microphones on the table anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm told that these pick us up really well from the ceiling. So
this square.
Anything you say, they're going to hear through the ceiling.
Yeah, love it. So we have had this application for the Arts Council for a little bit, and just with scheduling, this is the first meeting we could get her to. This is Zainab, and she has applied to be on the Arts Council. Have an application. Dustin, I believe you had the chance to meet her first.
Yeah,
and
I've had a
suggested
great opportunity to meet you.
Yes. Yeah. And so do you have any questions for Tiffany, I, or Zainab? We can.
Great. Well, first I'm going to turn to you and say thank you so much for being here and just ask you to let us know a little bit about yourself and why you want to be part of the Arts Council.
Yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity first. I'm a Turkish-American citizen. I live in South Jordan last 8 years. I'm a professional artist I'm a visual and performing artist as my hobby. Also, I am heavily involved with interfaith and in multicultural area. Since I live in South Jordan, I believe I can make a contribution in South Jordan arts and cultural area. And also I can bring unique perspective. And also I want to learn what is going on in terms of arts and culture. So I think I believe I would be a good addition for it.
Awesome.
Tell us, you've helped to organize some events as well.
Yes, currently I'm serving in the advisory board of Living Traditions Festival. And I'm currently being nominated for the Utah Division of Arts and Museums Advisory Board. Also, I have been organizing lots of in arts and cultural programs, and one of them was just last week. It was Multicultural Ethnic Dance Festival. It was 22nd one. It was at the Gateway. In fact, we are talking about moving that festival to South Jordan or Harriman. So we will see.
South Jordan.
Well, I mean, we We love our friends in town, and South Jordan would be thrilled to host.
Okay.
Like that, in the city somewhere. There's that, a way, there's a problem. I'm sure we can fix it.
Yeah, that was another reason I am here, because I also wanted to see the interest. If you are open to talk about this, we can talk later. And I have been organizing arts and cultural exchange programs, education programs, art workshop series, and we were bringing different world arts to the organization. I'm chairing Emerald Hills Institute. We organize Turkish marbling classes and Native American beading class and Japanese origami class. So all sorts of different art programs I have been involved organizing and also teaching with lots of experience. I think it would be nice to contribute South Jordan in that capacity.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions? Say no. Go ahead.
What kind of artwork do you do?
I teach Turkish folk dance. I used to teach. I'm old, now old to be patient for kids, but for 10-15 years I taught Turkish folk dance and whirling dervishes, and my groups actually performed throughout the valley at the Living Traditions Festival, Krap Lake City, and Parliament of World Religions and some other programs. Also, I do Turkish crochet and evil eye jewelry.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
I was just going to ask the same thing. You said visual and performance.
Yes.
So that you just explained that.
Yes.
That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
That's great. Anyone else?
I don't know. I'll be Googling later to find out.
Well, if I may, gosh, when was the first time that I met you? Was it when we were putting together the first day of service, the Interfaith Day of Service?
Yes.
I had met you before that.
Yes.
At one of the Salt Lake or the Utah Multicultural something.
Yes, yeah.
But that's the first time we really got to have a good conversation, when we were organizing the first Interfaith Day of Service here in South Jordan.
Yes, it was somewhere in daybreak. So, and
maybe it was 19. What year was that?
21. At least 6 years ago.
It was that long? Yeah, then it was 19.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Before COVID.
Yeah, time goes fast. Yeah. Anyway, and since then, she's everywhere. I see her everywhere. We attended the State of Utah Governor's Inauguration Interfaith Fireside Devotional together.
Yes.
Devotional. She was there. We both got to be there and chat, but Zainab is everywhere. And she volunteers her time everywhere.
Yeah, it keeps me alive and happy. It fills my heart, so feeds my heart.
She is beloved and well respected across the state. That I know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your interest in coming to be part of the Arts Council here in our city. I know there's a lot of opportunities to serve, and we think the Arts Council is a really important group in our city. So the process, just so you know, the process is we will have a conversation amongst ourselves, and then somebody will be in touch probably tonight.
Okay. Cool.
And yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, we're going to turn to Janelle again for a senior advisory committee member. And Jamie is here. And Tiffany, I didn't even say hi. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
It feels like an interrogation.
It's not, we're really nice. I promise we're nice. I know this long table now, right?
I didn't think it would be this hard to volunteer.
Yeah.
She volunteers at the community center already as a friendly face over there. Again, you got her application more recently to serve on the Senior Advisory Committee, and we have a number of vacancies for that group.
So Kay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I just moved here recently, a year and a half ago, and being a senior and being in a whole new environment, I decided I would go to the senior center to see if I could meet people. And I was so impressed with the way that the center is run and by the way that people are treated, that I decided that if I had any energy at all, that I would like to devote it to serving the seniors. Primarily my response to life is, and I attribute this to a very influential gentleman that I knew in St. George, who was retired from his occupation and from his church callings. And he was in that stage of life that some of us will find eventually. And I said, how does it feel to have all of this freedom? And he said, I feel invisible. And I thought to myself, how many human beings feel invisible at some stage in their life when they have been productive and active and have done so much, and all of a sudden find themselves in a whole new situation. And I decided that if I could do anything to help people not feel invisible, and I think that's how I feel at the Senior Center, is I have an opportunity to meet a lot of seniors that are at that stage in their life where they're not exactly seen. And so my goal is just to make those of us who are at that part of our life to be seen and heard. And I was on a bus. I went to the Bees game with the seniors, and we were sitting on the bus waiting, and the mayor got on the bus and said hi to the people that were sitting there. I said, I said to Jamie, who is that? She said, that's our mayor. I thought, wow, if the mayor of the city can take time to stop at a bus of seniors who went to the Bees game, then that's somebody I want to be part of. So that's me.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you come from St. George? Where did you live before?
Yeah, my husband and I moved from Connecticut to St. George, and we lived there 30 years. And then he passed away, and then 6 months later, my daughter passed away, and I have two daughters that live here. And they said, Mom, it's time for you to be closer, because if something happens to you, you're 4 hours away. We'd rather have you here so that it's more convenient for us to drop in, you know. And so I did. I moved in with my daughter, and I actually love it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Just have loved this. I love this community, and I love the things that are offered, and it's pretty neat. Maybe I would have moved here sooner if I'd not.
Well, we'll take that as a huge compliment, because people love St. George. Yes. So.
Yeah, well, people haven't lived in there through the summer.
Right.
But yeah. I did love St. George. We had it's a wonderful community. And I was really involved a lot with a lot of the different organizations there. But, you know.
Well, we're really grateful that you want to be involved here. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Kay?
No questions?
We really are a nice group. It's not.
Your shoes and your shirt are darling. You look so stylish.
You know what I said? I don't want anybody to feel unseen.
I love that. And that's the mayor's favorite color, by the way.
That's awesome. it's a favorite color, but I actually pick my wardrobe by whatever shoes I feel like wearing.
You're my kind of gal. Comfort over.
And that started. I used to teach line dancing at the Senior Center, and the ladies would say, "Well, we can't really see your feet because you're up on the stage. We can't really see your feet." And I thought, "Well, that is a problem." So I decided to get bright shoes. And then it became like an obsession. Then it became like moving a shoe store.
That's awesome.
But it works. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Really, we appreciate you coming and taking the time to come and be here, and your interest in wanting to serve and give back and be part of what we have here. We really are proud of what we have here and who we have here. And the team at the Senior Center is
incredible. They do
incredible.
A good job.
So. Yeah, thank you so much. It's the same thing, same process. We'll chat ourselves, and then somebody will call you tonight.
Okay. Okay, well, don't say bad things about
I'll talk about how I can't even see your shoes. So
she looks so cute.
Well, and they're hikes, too, so it's like walking barefooted.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Nice. Good. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Ray, follow that. No, we're gonna turn to our incredible Director of Public Works, Raymond Garrison, and we're gonna get an update on our sidewalk maintenance. And I gave a little bit of grief to your team. You guys come on up. I walked in and I said, who do we have here and what are they wearing? Just to give them a hard time. I said, yeah. No, I can say that we're friends, right? Yeah. Like they tried really hard to teach me how to do what they do, and it's so hard. It's really hard, and you guys are really good at it. So we're excited for this update and appreciate you guys being here.
Well, Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity. And just real quick before we get started, I'll just introduce my folks that I brought here from Public Works. They're the people that really make our sidewalk program successful. We have Porter Meekum, that is a supervisor on one of the concrete crews, and Dylan Underwood is a supervisor on the other concrete crew. And then our streets and storm manager, Logan Nickel. And then I think you all know Raleigh Thacker, Associate Director of Public Works. So I wanted to bring them here to recognize, because some of the things I'm going to talk about is really due to what they do every day and what they accomplish, you know, with our sidewalk program. So I figured it'd be a good time to update you on this. We get a lot of calls sometimes on our sidewalk program, and I think it's good to share what we're doing and what we're going to do moving forward. So just a little background. We have about 475 miles of sidewalks that we maintain. In the last 4 years, we've seen that increase about 18 miles, a little over 18 miles. In 2022, we're very grateful that we got approved an additional crew for our sidewalk program, and that's what's kind of boosted that replacement that we've done. And I'll show you some numbers to talk about that. So we're grateful for that. All right, so when we get our complaints or not complaints or requests on sidewalk concerns, we'll go out and do a damage assessment. And a majority of the time, it's the tree roots that cause the trip hazard on that. It's not every time that that's the hazard, but what we'll do is that process is we'll bring our arborists out and look at that. And the first thing we do is try minimizing the impact we have to that tree and do minimal root removal so that we can replace that sidewalk and keep that tree alive for the homeowners. The other issue that we see is poor compaction. That's either during installation or utilities when they're put in, they're settling there or the wrong base or poor compaction, water leaks, certain things like that, that we'll see that sidewalk start to settle. And so we'll have to make repairs due to that. We're continuing our prevention strategies. Trees are important and we want to keep those alive. And so we had a meeting today and we're trying to think of how moving forward we can kind of eliminate some of these trip hazards. There's some that we go back a couple times to, but we're trying to be proactive and be better at addressing some of these issues. And some of that's, you know, the proper tree species, you know, root barriers. We're looking at many different options that can help us. All right, there's some pictures of some of the trip hazards we see throughout the city. We go out and spray paint those. Once we're notified of them, we'll go mark them with some marking so that they're more visible until we can get to them. So our current repair methods, some of the repair solutions is concrete. We have a concrete pumper, where we can go and pump up the concrete for some of those displacements. It really don't work for where we have tree root issues. It's more the settling that it works. Then we have grinding is an option where we'll come in and grind the profile of that concrete to make it where it's not a trip hazard, more of a smooth transition. These are really temporary solutions, especially when it's revolving around tree root issues. Go ahead, Councilman.
Mr. Garrison, can you talk a little bit about the concrete pumping and how that works?
Yeah, so they're the experts, and I'll probably butcher this, but they can correct me. We have this mixture that we'll drill holes through the concrete, and then we have a pump that pumps it into the voids and pushes that concrete up to where if it's displaced, it will push it up. And we're just filling it with like a cement mixture.
So a slurry with some slurry in it.
Yeah.
So it's...
It's not true concrete. Well, so a true concrete, you know, with the aggregate in it would clog that pump. So it's a It's a finer, thinner slurry that we add cement to harden up when it gets under there.
I had to do that on my driveway and on my front steps.
There's a lot of them. You'll see a circle about that big.
Yep.
And they've come in and pumped.
Thank you.
One of our strategies, and we did a lot more of this in the past, but we realized we wanted to change our focus a few years back where we just go in and do tear out and replaces, right? And so we've really focused on tearing out sections of sidewalk and just replacing them at that time. We do a little bit of, pumping and grinding, and we'll kind of get into the grinding because we've switched our focus just a little bit because the amount of work that we're seeing come in, we're just not catching up with what we need to do. So those are temporary solutions. The real replacement solution is going in and doing a full sidewalk replacement. That's where it's more of a permanent situation, addressing the tree root issues if those are an issue in that area. So that's our work order request per, or work orders completed per, I can't see that, per the resident request. You'll see the gray lines, the gray bar graph. That's our work orders that we complete. And then you'll see the blue or the request coming in. You'll see that there's more there and it kind of tells a story. So when we go out to do, when we get a request for an area or it's mainly in front of a home that a trip hazard's provided to us as a request, we'll go out there and the guys will go around and find others in the area. So it generates more work orders or residents. I believe you guys are out on one where residents will come out and say, hey, there's a trip hazard in front of our house. So we'll go down there and we try getting a whole bunch in an area where we can get the concrete trucks there and it's just more efficient, less costly, right? The other thing is that this shows is that even though we're doing a lot of requests, we still have, or a lot of work orders completed, we still have a lot of requests because there's just that balance. We have averaged about 100 work orders all year long, you know, because it's basically first come, first serve if we can, or the hazard of that, or certain things. And so, again, it's been a challenge because there's a lot of trip hazards out there. But again, I'll show you where we've kind of changed our strategy, and it's not just a full replacement that we're doing to kind of address these and get us caught up.
Can I ask a question? I think it makes a lot of sense. Like if 123 Banana Street calls and says, hey, we have a problem, that you kind of assess the area. I'm curious, what's the engagement with the residents? So if 123 Banana Street says, I have a problem, do you knock on the door and talk to residents, or do you just assess the sidewalk? Like, do you engage with the people? Do they know you came?
I would have guessed that you guys just drive the area and not really. I mean, the times we're out there, a lot of people aren't home. And so we just drive the area and find trip hazards. Okay. But people will come by and see them doing the tear out and say, hey, I have one in front of my house. Can you come do that?
So if a resident has an issue and a trip hazard, what's the best way for them to engage with the city?
So we have, I think they do it through Connect, right? Yes. Our work order system Connect, where they can report a problem and then they will come to us in a work order.
On the city, from the city's website.
Website. Yeah. The city's okay. Website, yeah. All right, so this kind of shows you in an area where we did the blue squares where we had the trip hazard called in, and then the other four red squares are where we found other hazards in that area. So we did all those, and it kind of just shows an image of what I was explaining on those graphs. All right, so this one right here, I'm pretty sure this is the contractor. This is, might be in-house. I wish I could see that top part. But we have two graphs that we're going to show, or two different slides. And one is the square foot of concrete removal we're doing in-house. And the other is how much we're contracting out. And you'll see there where we're starting to just get more square footage removal and replaced on our concrete. And again, we've had that second crew for a while, but we haven't been fully staffed either for a while. And we're finally, Public Works is fully staffed in all their positions. And so you're going to see these numbers increase even more the next time I'm in front of you sharing this. So that one's the contractor. You can tell by the amount. This is where we hire it out and we have contractors do tear out and replace. All right, so like I said, we kind of changed our focus, and it was really, I was riding around with Logan and we were looking at another issue, a stormwater thing we're looking at, and he said, hey, look at that sidewalk there. He goes, I replaced that 5 years ago, a full replacement. It was lifted again. And so then I thought, well, maybe, you know, we start talking. Are we getting in there and doing replacement too early as these trees are developing where we can't do the root removal? And so we started, we put out an RFP and we went out and did grinding and we hired a company to come grind. I think it was 66 different locations and they removed 304 trip hazards. So what that's done is it's got these folks where they can go out and focus in an area and not be pulled off with all these different requests all around the city. And we're going to continue that grinding effort to keep us caught up on sidewalk trip hazard elimination.
I think that's great. Caught up and buy us a little bit more time before the full replacement while the routes are doing what they need to do, whatever. I think that's great. It's really good.
So there's some pictures right there of what it looks like. You can see where they ground that lip where it was higher. The picture on the right, yeah, it's on the right on both sides. You'll see there's a little void under the sidewalk. Unfortunately, grinding is probably not going to work in that area, and there's going to need to be either a tree removal and a plant a new tree or root removal for that. All right, so year to date, we've eliminated 685 trip hazards between all those different methods. So we're making progress and we're feeling really good. And so moving forward, grinding was something like we really wanted to focus on. And so we had some money in the sidewalk budget and we're gonna purchase a grinder. We actually have it ordered now to where these work order requests come in. Our goal is that we can address it within a 24-hour period as a request comes in. Again, that's a goal. We're really hoping to meet that and challenge us to meet that. But that grinder is really going to be a game changer, I think, to eliminate trip hazards. And again, we can have a crew grinding and then another one focused in a general area throughout the city doing the full replacement. It's efficiency. It will help create those efficiencies where we stay in an area and we focus on that, not be pulled off to different areas. So I believe I had 15 minutes and I probably did that in 8. So questions?
Public works.
Well done.
Right. So
you guys, it's so much harder than I knew. It just is. I take for granted how nice it looks and it's I learned a lot and I wasn't half bad at it for the, period of time that I did it. But that is so much work. It's hard. It's hard to do. Seriously, even getting that.
So was she really
to break up the cement, and hitting it hard enough to break up the cement first, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't. She did.
Listen, there's some, neighbors on a certain street that have my handiwork on it. They let me do. And one neighbor came out and said, hi, he was thrilled about it. He was really nice. It wasn't his sidewalk, but he was really excited about it. Anyway, funny. He's not the one who has to live with it. You guys do such good work. And it really is a privilege to get to see the good work that you do all over our city. It's a big part of the reason people want to live here. It's really a big part of the quality of life that you have here that people appreciate so much. Thank you.
You're an amazing group. So thank you.
If you'd like to try it, they can use an extra hand. We'll just put you on a shift one
just
day.
Just telling you.
We got that grinder. You can sit on it.
And they'll wear their PPE this time.
Thank you.
Yeah, that. Thank you. Yeah.
You guys are staying cool and hydrated over there.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone's staying good and healthy.
Okay. Yeah, we'll purchase waters and keep them in coolers. We got dog coolers too with ice. So thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to point out that picture. That just shows that's our yard right there, nonstop with the concrete that we fill up and we're hauling off. And we take that to be grounded asphalt materials and they reuse that. But I forgot to point out that picture. It's nonstop full from our tear out replacement program.
Something else I wanted to point out, if you'll go forward, it's just to give these guys, the supervisors, more credit. Go again. Just to the graphs. I think just because we couldn't see it. One more. There you go. So the 8,800 for this year, that's what the contractors did.
Oh.
If you go to the next one, the 52,000, that's what these guys did. Yeah. So they did about, 25-ish square feet or 25,000 each. So that's what they did. The contractors were kind of what we sent them, the extras.
It really is amazing.
So
we go back to that picture.
So with the grinder, will you not be using the contractor anymore? Or
we still will, probably for just some areas where, just some excess bigger stretches or, but I mean, with the grinder, I think we'll be able to tackle them quicker as they come in. So that's kind of the main focus for that. When we get the call in, we can go grind it and then they can get back to areas and be more efficient with the crews in the areas like that.
So you're working on 40th West right now, or you have a contractor?
That's a contractor doing that.
So that's a big stretch.
That's a big stretch.
Yeah.
Yep. Let me see. That's a good
pictures.
A case where we would maybe use a contractor for a long stretch where they would be tied. The contractor would be there, or these guys could be tied up for a month or 2 months where they could be somewhere else.
Yeah.
To the picture.
Sorry. Oh, the picture.
Yeah, this one. Yeah. No, not that one. Go
this one.
One. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Yeah. That is. Is that one of the pictures that was taken when we did our filming? Did the communications team take that when we were doing our?
No, this was just taken.
Because that's exactly what it looks like when they do it, and it's just a lot. They're working around, and I had never really even given this any thought. People's sprinkling systems and anything that they might have in the ground, and trying to protect all of those. You guys just do such good work. Thank you.
I have a question. When you send out the contracted work, do they? I mean, I'm just wondering, as a resident, can they identify who's South Jordan and who's contracted? Like, do you have, like, that vest, it seems like the guy in the middle, is there a tree on that that says South Jordan?
Yeah.
Are people?
Logo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would just say it was Porter and what?
Dylan.
Never underestimate the power of just your presence. Like, we hear comments all the time. Oh, a South Jordan employee did this, or a South Jordan employee did that. And 9 times out of 10, they're always positive. So thank you for just your demeanor, you know, showing up. It means a lot to the residents. So I just, you know, they've already given you accolades, but I would also just say I've heard from so many people when the South Jordan employees show up and they're working on sidewalks and trees or whatever, positive feedback. That they have said the people are respectful. And so please know that that matters to everybody. So thank you for showing up with that kind of respect.
Thank you.
It's awesome. If you need anything, just let Dustin know.
Yeah, right.
Don't say that.
I've done it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
thanks,
thank
you guys.
You.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good
thanks
work,
for
guys.
Being here.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Yeah. Right? It's just the right age to, yeah. Exactly. Okay, we are excited now for an update from our communications team who has just been working tirelessly. So we're going to welcome Rachel Van Cleve, our communications manager, and Melinda Seeger, our director of administrative services.
So it
for
has
an update.
So it has been a very long minute since the last time we've had an opportunity to share with you and give you some trends and some information on what the communications team is doing. I have the privilege of working with a tremendously talented group of professionals, and so I'm going to defer to Rachel so she can share with you all of the things that they've done this year so that you kind of get an idea of some of the things that they've been working on and the information that they get to assess and evaluate when we are trying to find how well we are sharing our story and engaging our community. So with that, Rachel, if you want to share all the great things that they've been doing.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a couple years since we've been here. I'm probably not going to beat Ray in his 8 minutes, but I'm going to try to be very conscious of time and go through everything with you all. So, and I'm going to stand because I've had way too much caffeine today, you guys. I can't be on the feet. So I always just like to do a little bit of, hey, here's your team. We're small but mighty. Right now we do have an intern. If you haven't had a chance to meet her yet, I don't have a picture of her. Her name's Miriam. But these three people, we do a lot of stuff. We're all the hats communications wise.
And Tyson is here.
Wave Tyson. Hi. If you haven't met Tyson yet, definitely get a chance. I don't know if you saw the artist on display last month in City Hall. It was all of his cartoons. He's a cartoonist, actually published in the New Yorker. So I always like to so that's the team there. Just some things as a team, we're very professionally active. And one of the big things that I just love to point out is Silver Anvil is the top award in the country for public relations and do all the work with working with the public works team. And Jason and Ray, for many, many, many years, we put in stuff for Pier Sojo. And all of that work that we did for public relations around that project to help with the success of it won us a national award. Some, we've also been finalists in 8 Golden Spike Awards. That's the State Public Relations Society of America. And we've won 3 of those, including the top crisis award in the state for Barbie Land response.
Oh my gosh. That's
which was hilarious. And that is the gift that keeps on giving. I've actually spoken, come next week, I'll have spoken at 3 conferences about Barbie Land and our response, because it's just, and Tumblegeddon. Anyway, so it's just kind of funny. So right now, I am the vice president of the Public Information Officer Association for the state of Utah. I'll be president in September. And Josh is the former vice president and president of the Utah Association of Government Communications. He's finally stepping back and taking a break, because he's been on that committee for a long time. And he also is kind of the main drone person, helps RISC with its re-upping of its program in terms of the insurance related stuff. He does a lot of research, keeps his finger on the pulse of legislation that's going on in terms of drones, and then also is a kind of consultant with all the other programs in the city. And then Tyson, I mentioned, New Yorker published cartoonist. And he's honestly, I don't know if you've noticed our graphics, I mean, just for Summerfest, for example, various things. He has just elevated the quality of the look of everything that we've done since we've had him on board. And it's been amazing. One of the things you've seen is the coloring page series, the Dine with Dawn cartoon, the little Dawn Ramsey you've seen all over the place. Those are all hand-drawn, no AI involved, Tyson Cole special there. All right, so as a team, in communications, we have some things that as a team, what we want to be on behalf of the city. That's what these division goals are. These are not strategic objectives. I'm going to get to those here in a second. We wanted to be set apart as a leader in social media presence and engagement, to establish South Jordan as the best city to have or grow business, and to be considered a leader in government communications by our peers. For that last point, we do an annual survey for our PIO association, so peers. And we ask them in the survey, and this is a fill in the blank. This isn't a, you have multiple choices. On the federal, state, county, and municipal level, which organization would you consider a leader in government communications in each of those? South Jordan was the top one in the last survey. So we kind of achieve at least one of those this year. So that's good.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of those things we've been working towards.
It is huge. And it doesn't surprise me because that is the vibe that's out there. That's the buzz on the street. That's why I keep getting asked to present everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I hear it in a lot of places and it's neat to see.
Our small but mighty team, we put our heart and soul into everything. And some of those kind of come back to the strategic priorities that you as council have established for the city. We have our own communications strategic plan, and they're all tied to what's available in our, sorry. Oh, it needs to be share the right screen apparently. Oops. Boop-a-boop. Okay, thank you. I'm going to start with kind of strategic priorities that you all established, and then kind of go into what we were doing in our communications strategic plan. Just give you a sense of where we're at. So we do it by fiscal year. Our fiscal year, obviously, you know, ends at the end of this month. So in social media, which was a big focus for the year, we were focused on growth, engagement, and improvement. And so you can kind of see some of those stats, but you'll notice they're in green. We've either achieved or in all cases, I think actually exceeded our goals. Yeah. So like increase resident Instagram followers by 25%, we got 26%. I just want to point that out. That's a platform that we've realized has actually been extremely effective, which you can see by the last point there, to increase the average page or account reach for Facebook and Instagram by 10%. We increased that by 95% for Instagram and 8% for Facebook. We do average those together, so a 52% increase. So there's that one. And like I said, I will go through these relatively quickly. The next is fostering economic development. So obviously this last year, that has also been one of our focus. And you can see that through our Dine with Dawn series, all of the economic development videos we're doing, all the stuff we're doing with the bees. We've just had a lot of economic development. And some of those, the way we measured those were through especially some of our social media efforts as well as newsletter efforts. So that first point, basically we wanted to reach a lot of people on Facebook and Instagram. And the 3%, we're not just arbitrarily picking these numbers, by the way, these goals. These are industry standards. We try to find as close as we can. We do research ahead of time. We base our numbers on what is a typical reach for government entities. We are blowing them out of the water. That's what those numbers are. And a lot of these are just, it's just the amazing work. I can't say enough between, especially Josh and Tyson are just the creative minds behind so much of this. And then 2% average click distribution rate on related articles, that's in our newsletter, 9%. A lot of those related articles were actually through the mayor's corner. So I think that probably boosted them a bit because when they see your face, Mayor, they just want to click on it again.
Click to move ahead.
Not like that. All right, so 2% engagement rate on posts. And we're doing great. On average, we're 2.6%. Facebook is less engaging. You'll see it's Instagram that pulls up our average. And then we have, this one hits several factors. We probably, everything related to the urban center and bees.
This one was so crazy high numbers. How many people watch this, right?
Yeah. These were highly engaging and highly positive. So one of the big things is we were trying to impact sentiment, which when you look at a public relations campaign, that's one of the hardest things to do. So you'll see a mixed bag on this page. Sentiment is very difficult to impact. However, I will going to point out some very specific things. So in that first one, we wanted to have at least 60% of the Facebook and Instagram post engagement be positive. That includes comments, those reactions. They can do the angry face or they can do the thumbs up, right? So when we went through both Facebook and Instagram, 99.8% positive. Our interactions on social media are very positive. I'm going to skip to the bottom. The things we did not achieve there, those two bottom ones, those were on our annual survey. So it's interesting that in the public setting, which we all know that social media can be full of trolls. And so you would think that that would be the part where they kind of unload on us, but maybe it's because it's anonymous on the survey. There are a few things I will say about the bottom two, and those were related to traffic as related to the Urban Center Project and public safety. And especially when it comes to traffic, there's just so many things outside of our control, right? Like during that period, all the other construction, like who of the council members has heard complaints about construction? Because I see it and hear it constantly. So I think there's some things that outside of our control. It was also extremely ambitious. So I don't feel too bad.
Also, this was the time leading up to the ballpark opening for months, all the months of people being a little bit concerned about public safety, concerned about traffic, fearful of parking, fearful of the unknown things.
Exactly.
A lot of anecdotal fears about what could happen. And now that that's not what's happened. I think we'll see an improvement in that because
I would like to see it next year for that reason, Mayor. I had the same thought. And then, also going back to that kind of second point on there that we achieved as well and exceeded was an average click distribution rate. That phrase is for newsletters. So essentially, like people were very, we wanted them to be interested and engaged with the content, and they were. And then the other one was unique visitors to the webpage in that period of time. About the project, that one wasn't achieved. We only ended up having about 600 people. We used it as a resource, but we didn't necessarily advertise it like we did some of the other things. So there's some lessons to be learned there. All right, so that is kind of the overall picture of what we have going on in communications. The other half of this that I was asked to do is we have a lot going on in the media. We started tracking every single media inquiry starting in November of 2022. I mean, just look at that. This is us since November of 2022, every month. This is April of this year. I bet you can think of at least a couple of things that happened in April of this year that led to that. But to also look at the by fiscal year, we more than doubled our media inquiries. There's a couple reasons behind this. One is we spent several years building relationships with the media to make ourselves available to say, hey, South Jordan is willing to talk with you. We're willing to be professional, have those good relationships. Part of that was newsroom visits that we've done over the last couple of years. And so that is beneficial, but it also means they're going to reach out to us more, which means there's more work and time associated with it. The other part are what we call media drivers. So, and just this fiscal year, these are some of our key media drivers. We had an insane amount a really crazy amount of incidents. Notice these three were on the same day in April. That's why you had that victim. Plus, then just a week later, we had the missing teenager, which we have. And these are the start date of a lot of these. A lot of these went for weeks and weeks and weeks. We were getting constant inquiries. So that's just kind of the initial push for a lot of those. And then we have key outreach. These are things that we were trying to get information out about. So this is what we had planned, the key outreach. This is what we did not plan. So we try to build our schedules and do things around the things that we plan, but a lot of the times we have to drop everything. Like with when Corbin Summers passed away, we're going to do the best we absolutely can to support all of the staff involved in putting together that funeral. And so that means everything else we're doing kind of has to go on the back burner. Because like I said, small but mighty team. We do everything that we can to support our other departments in the city. Okay, so part of what I wanted to do as a part of this training is your role in our media relations. And what I did is I reached out to some of my fellow PIOs in our neighboring cities and said, anonymously, send me some situations where elected officials did actions that impacted media messaging. And so these are...
Before we get into those,
yeah.
Having a conversation with Rachel, we wanted to just comment and thank you, because some of these issues and concerns that other PIOs around us have had to deal with, we have never encountered because of the level of professionalism and the back and forth that we've had with you in sharing incidents and situations so that you were always on the same page with what we were doing operationally when we were meeting with or talking to our media colleagues outside of the city.
And I'm really glad Melinda said that, because some of the examples I'm using are the less extreme versions of what I got.
That they were willing to share.
Yes, I did get a couple of very interesting ones that I decided not to share. But I did say, do not tell me who it is. I don't want to know. Just do these anonymously. So these are the examples some of the colleagues gave. So this was an interesting one in terms of there was the city council was split in terms of endorsing a district attorney. And in some cases, by the way, these examples are from previous PIO jobs in cities out of state too. So it might not just be, they're from local PIOs, but it might not be even our neighboring cities.
But relevant nonetheless.
But relevant, yes. So basically, the council was split. This one elected official endorsed one candidate and the rest of the council endorsed the other. But it was the one that endorsed the one candidate that decided to put their endorsement on city letterhead, which appeared to make it represent the whole city council, which you can imagine made the other council members not so happy. And it created confusion, too, about the city's official stance. Now, don't start trying to guess who it is. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. So jumping the gun on messaging is one that probably happens quite often. I heard a couple different stories. So a city elected official posted about city updates before the final messaging was approved, which forced the city to then publicly address the incomplete or inaccurate information. There is a strategy behind how things are released and when they're released. And then unofficial opinions in public forums. So basically, you know, this is when I hear stories all the time. I can't say this enough from all of my community across the country. And you all do not do these types of things. I have to say I'm very grateful for you all, again, to reemphasize. But a city elected official commented in a community Facebook group sharing personal opinions that appeared to be official city positions, leading to confusion and undermining public trust. Now, we bring up all of those just to say, here's what these have in common. So it blurs the lines between personal and official city messaging. We always have to make it very clear what's personal and what's city. It created a confusion about the city's official stance. It undermined the trust in the city and its communications. We know in government, trust is like, that is our gold, that is our standard. And then it forced the city to react publicly, often under less than ideal circumstances. So basically, if we do things kind of in the general procedures that we normally operate under, we're not going to have to do that. So in general, we say this, is mayor is a spokesperson. The reason is when people reach out to the city, they don't want to talk to me. They don't want to talk to Dustin. They want to talk to Mayor Ramsey. She gets constant inquiries. And because our mayor is capable and willing, we love to put her on camera whenever she's willing to do it, especially when I don't have to be on camera. I personally appreciate that. So in general, we have our mayor, and this may change if we were to have a different mayor too, in terms of who's willing or who wants to do it. But in general, she typically speaks on behalf of both the council and the city. In general, if it's the city and it's something the mayor can't speak on, there's quite a bit that I would speak on as the PIO, especially if it's incident related. And then sometimes as a subject matter expert, I love throwing Ray on camera anytime. Anytime I can. I haven't had to do that in a while. I've done Logan a few times. Thank you, Logan. Didn't I get Porter? Yeah, I got you on camera too. Yeah. Anytime I can, I'm not in front of the camera. So there's
some. It resonates better with the public.
Yes.
If it's a subject expert, it resonates better with our community.
Yeah, I've also thrown you on camera. Tiffany, have I had you on?
I try to avoid it, but.
Okay, okay. I've had a few people here. So, but in general, mostly the mayor tries to make herself available for that. So she's been a great representative of the council and the city as a whole. Now in general,
I want to add one more clarifier to that. If I can, if it's a public safety related incident with either police or fire, I don't.
Yes.
We always have the PIO for police or fire do that.
Yes. We like the people in uniform.
And if there's anything, it's an ongoing investigation. I also don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah. If there's when it comes to incidents, we won't generally bring in the mayor or a council member unless there's some need we see a need from the public for reassurance. And the mayor usually is kind of the more personal community aspect versus the details and the facts related to the case. So in terms of our process, it's pretty simple. It's council members, as soon as the media reaches out to you, you should just notify Dustin and I. If you know, just notify Dustin, he'll notify me. Or if you notify me, I'll obviously tell Dustin. We're always on the same page when it comes to media inquiries. The reason behind that is both Dustin and I have different aspects. Generally, I'm always preparing some sort of key messaging related to something that you're being asked about. I always have something going. And then Dustin may know some, I don't want to say political, but like some sort of dynamic that may impact our messaging that I may not know. So that's why he and I are always on the same page on that.
And I always do that too. Often they'll reach out to Rachel and she'll contact me, but if anybody reaches out to me directly or something like that, I won't ever respond to them without going to these two. We'll figure it out.
And yeah, the staff's the same. Sometimes the media will reach out to them first. They always
will. Yeah, I won't ever talk to anybody without
and ever. I'm glad you brought up the staff, because this is the same process we do with our staff. I mean, we'd say if you see media or if they reach out to you, send them to me first, because there may be something else happening in overall city messaging that might impact how that's messaged. And then I can coach them or talk them through it.
Sometimes it's a safety thing. We've had media crews roll up on big water leaks or other things, and it's about keeping them safe and out of the incident. And then we can, you know, get it set up. They can get an interview with the subject matter expert, but they're not trying to interview them while they're trying to work.
So we do regular trainings with our staff, PIO trainings is what we call them. And we give them a lot of the same information, and actually I'll have you kind of start passing these out. But yeah, so the reason that we do this process is that I may already have key messages and verbiage prepared that could help you. Essentially, it'll help you do the messaging, use some of the right words or phrasing that we're using. I know that may seem a little bit of minutia, but the words and phrasing we use for a reason, and we establish for a reason. And then ensures consistent message that aligns with what we're doing in our outreach and other areas. And it also prevents confusion about who's speaking for the city. Also maintains trust and clarity in public communication. And I think that was it. That's my last slide. So what I gave you there is just a one pager. This is a lot of the same information that we give. And I put my face on there, not because I know you're just dying to have a picture of me on your wall or anything, but the idea is just to remind you, reach out to me. my face and smiling face is like, I am friendly. I will not bite.
This is what the staff has too.
Yes, they have the same thing with a picture of me. It's for that same reminder that, hey, reach out to me. Let me know. I will either prepare you. We're going to figure out together. What are those talking points? Are you the best person to talk to the media? And in some cases, you know, it's somewhat related to the city. So I do want to bring up, like, Kathy, when you started in office, for example, and the journal reached out to you, you gave us a heads up, say, hey, this is coming. We appreciate that. But it's, you know, it was about you as a candidate. So that's, we didn't really have messaging for that. Exactly. But I appreciate you reaching out and touching base with us. And Don, you've always been.
Dustin told me to.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. She talked to Dustin first. So there you go. The system works. The system works. But I'm here to answer any of your questions, or feel free to scan the one pager. I just did 1, 2, 3 quick stuff.
Another thing too, if you're asked to speak at events or anything, Rachel and her team are really good about prepping bullet points or speaking points to give you background on the group, the organization, key messaging, how it can relate to the city, things that you can add. She and her team are really good. They do it for the mayor all the time. They can do that
think
for you as well.
Every council member here may have reached out to me at some point. Yes. About talking points. I know you have Tamara, Don, definitely Patrick, maybe. I was trying to think of one, but yeah.
It's a great resource that we have.
Any questions or clarifications I can make?
I'll just give an example. When the truck crashed into the lake, a half a block from my office, I ran down there with one of my employees, and we were standing there looking and watching, and a media guy came right up to me and was like, hey, I think he somehow knew I was on city council. Do you remember what you did?
Yes. Yeah. And I said, actually, the only official person to speak is Master Officer Sean Becker over here. She's our PIO on scene.
Like I said to him, he said, oh, can I get you on camera? And I said, you know, I really don't know anything.
And that's
and I was kind of downplaying.
That's what she was
it.
Saying when
and
I walked up.
She was like hyper vigilant, like spidey senses. And she cut herself in between me and him and said, actually. And I was like, yes. So I just stood there
it's
calmly.
Also there to, no, it really is. It's there to protect you guys from them, because there's that temptation. And one of the questions I have or on that one sheeter is, what do you do if they stick the mic in your face? And you can say, you know what, let me
and
figure out who the PIO is and get back to you.
The questions are going
to
be the questions that we would hope they would ask or not.
No, they're
right?
usually
we never
triggering.
Know. Yeah, we never
because
know.
The media wants something exciting. And so they put a camera and a microphone in your face because they want something that, like, you're going to misspeak. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be honest, that gets more views than a calm response.
There's always the chance of the hot mic situation, mm-hmm. for sure. So
no, it was actually hilarious. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Rachel is
we
like,
have to keep track of them because they'll sometimes go and talk to all kinds of people.
All sorts of people who don't actually know. We have lots of cases of that. We've all seen news stories where they go talk to folks that live in the city that don't actually know anything or talking. They're asking them about specifically. And we're like, what is this?
Yep, I was impressed with how quick you were going.
Yeah, I have to watch them. They scatter and they do some interesting stuff, the media sometimes. So I do have to keep my eye on them. Any other thoughts or questions?
I just want to say thank you because 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, something like that, we as a council wanted maybe a grander strategy for our communications, and that's what we asked for. And that has happened. It has happened. And I get the privilege of sitting down with them every 2 weeks to go through all the analytics, to go through the data, to go through the numbers, to create the plan, to see if there's anything that any of us know about, to make sure we know what's there and whatever. And they really are doing a lot of work, and it does show. And I'm not surprised that people said South Jordan more than anyone else on a blind. I wasn't surprised to see Kaysville Fire on there. It's hilarious.
Yes.
I follow Kaysville Fire. They're so good. UDOT has an incredible social media team.
And they were
UDOT?
The top on the state
oh
level.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
UDOT's is so good. South Jordan's is so good. And I just thank you. The whole team, thank you. It's really good work. Tyson, thank you. Yeah, tell Josh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's at the parade preview. Him and our intern are at the parade
right
preview right now doing photos and videos.
Doing their job.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Working
yeah.
now. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Okay. Front Runner Station area plan. We have had, we had four or five from South Jordan that have been done so far. Four that we've certified four or five from South Jordan. Four? Just the four we just did.
Yeah, that's right, in November, December, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, thanks, you guys. You can go take your ties off or whatever.
Don't take the ties off.
Right.
It's the hardest part of their work day.
No, I know.
Put on ties.
That's why I had to give them just a teeny little bit of grief.
And they
were like,
until they cut their
a little bit embarrassed by me saying, what are you wearing? You know, I'm like, you guys look really nice.
Just,
but I also know they're out. They're like, please don't make us sit here in a tie any longer. Yeah. They're so great. And they're so good at what they do. Yeah. So we have had our stationary plans along our track station that have been certified, and we're making good progress on the statewide station area plans that have to be certified this year. Good progress. Got a lot more in the pipeline, and I just have the privilege of being the chair of Wasatch Front Regional Council, who certifies the station area plans, and there's a lot of good work happening, and South Jordan has a lot of good work. So we've done great, and now here we are to our Front Runner Station area plan. So we're going to turn right now to Joe Moss, our long range planner, and Wall Consultant Group, Sean Seeger.
Thank you so much
for being here with us, and you've worked with us before.
That's right.
And we are going to turn to you guys.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of just give an introduction
real
quick. As Mayor mentioned, we're trying to get this done and certified before the legislative deadline coming up at the end of the year. We're a little ahead of the curve, trying to avoid those end of year WFRC meetings, which are going to be short.
Personally, I appreciate that, because otherwise yours truly is the one who has to sit there for 200 hours doing this. So thank you.
So we definitely are looking forward to getting this one kind of through the pipeline, and we've been working on this since we adopted those tracks plans late last year. And basically how we're looking at getting this is it would be to the Planning Commission sort of later this month and back in front of the council in a regular meeting in July. But this is our opportunity to kind of talk about the draft document right now and get your thoughts on, you know, the direction of the overall document, make sure that there's any additional things we need to tweak or change and do that. So that's this conversation today. So for now, I'm just going to turn our time over to
Sean.
I'm
actually really excited for this. So thank you for all the work that's gone into it.
No, working with your staff has been fantastic. You know, we've made a strategy to get those four track stations approved before you open up the new track station, the central station, and then, of course, the ballpark. So that was just really fun for us to watch that take place and be involved in it. Again, my name is Sean Seeger, and I work with WCG. And we've been working on these different station area plans around the state. This comes from 2022 legislative session, and along with that came some funding from the legislature to WFRC to help make these small area plans consistent with the massive transit investment that the state legislature is making right now in Front Runner and light rail and BRT. So this particular area is focused around the South Jordan Front Runner Station, both mostly on the west side of I-15, as Sandy City produced a stationary plan on the east side of I-15. It's both on the north side of 106 South as well as the south side. And this is one of the mornings that we were out there. That's
a lovely picture.
Yeah, captured one of those.
Quite nice.
Well, you know what they say, you know, those red skies in the morning, you know, sailors be warned. And that's what this was we had a blizzard that afternoon, but it was gorgeous. This half-mile circle shows the approximate half-mile boundary around the station. So you can see we're on the west side of I-15 again, both north and south of 106 South. And then we make a project area boundary line as well, where we have that discussion and say, what makes sense to be included in this? So that's the area that we're focused in. This is an overview of how WFRC and MAG have made progress in adopting those station area plans. I'll zoom in and show you this particular area. So these track stations in Sandy, they were adopted as part of a package. And we were coordinated with Sandy City's planner and Sandy City's consultants on what was included in the Sandy side of I-15. If you have questions, jump in and let me know. I'm just going through these quickly. So
Sandy's was approved.
Yes.
Sandy's is done.
Yeah, that was great. And in Sandy's, there's a couple elements, to be consistent with in Sandy's. One of them is the pedestrian bridge. over I-15, and we talk about that here in just a minute. I'll show you that it benefits them probably more than South Jordan, but still a very important link, and we have a great personal story to tell too if we have time, probably over time. But, WFRC provides a checklist, as you're aware, Mayor, since you're chair of the organization this year, that makes sure that we fulfill certain requirements. And in this particular plan, we conducted quite a few one-on-one interviews on the left side of the screen there. I won't go through each one of those, as you can see those, unless you want me to, unless you have any particular questions. And then we engaged the public with a survey process and postcards. We distributed these little quarter page postcards that had a QR code on it, and they could scan it with their phone and take the survey from that as well. Every apartment got one of those survey cards. Every business got a survey card, and it just reminded them that we're doing this work, and please give us your thoughts. And that's the example of the card right there. I forgot that we have that. That's me and Joe and Connor. Actually, I'm taking the picture. And then the survey was open for about a month, from March to April. 260 responses. Of course, these themes you've probably heard before, but wish the commuter rail would run later, you know, and on Sundays. That's always a common comment that we're getting on transit. Food options, you know, where's the closest food at the station? Recently, a restaurant opened up, I think, in the area, so now there's that option. First and last mile pedestrian connectivity over I-15, over to the Sandy site, and then connections to Jordan River, and then restrooms. You know, everyone wants to find a restroom when we're at a transit station, and the days we were out there, it was very cold, and so they were looking for heat as well, you know, some type of shelter to get out of the cold and try to get warm somewhere. So that's another common thing that we've heard. And then a series of recommendations in the station area plan. So east-west connectivity, we've talked about that, whether it's transit or the pedestrian bridge or other ways of getting across I-15. It's just a natural barrier since it's a freeway. Excellent automobile access, though. You know, really good service to the site.
I'm happy to report that as part of our Transit Fresh Look project that we've been working on for the last 9 months, we have one meeting left. But right now, as of all of the data that's been collected, it does show that our preferred alternative for potentially increasing or adding transit between the Front Runner and our track station along like South Jordan Parkway, you know, maybe a bus lane, dedicated bus lane for BRT or something like that, actually is the most prepared of any route or any street or any project in Northern Utah County and all of Southwest Salt Lake County. We might be the first ones who are able to connect some transit from there to the tracks. We're working hard to make that happen, but it's the most prepared route. And so that's what we're going to prioritize.
East-west. Yes. That's what we always hear. We have really good north-south. We don't have very good east-west. And so if we can improve upon
east-west. We're working hard on that.
Yeah, that sounds
good. We're very close to getting that, I think, into the regional transportation plan and having it be the most prepared project. It will allow us to keep moving.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. Some of these other items I'll just click through real quickly. Increased bicycle visibility. We have a lot of bike lanes out there, but they're not really apparent. And so we're proposing some green paint, simple things like that. Kind of make it.
Totally agree to the green
paint. Make it a space. Yeah. It's easy. Less, you know, it's very cost effective. And you can do
it. No, it's great. And so in Saratoga Springs,
you
see it.
Yeah.
So good.
On Redwood Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really good. Really effective. Front Runner Sticks. There's station platforms that we could make. There's some bicycle lockers. There's excellent facilities there, but you might not know they're there unless you go down around the corner and look for them. And so even some wayfinding signs, simple things like that. Jordan River Corridor Preservation, continue that great work that the city's been doing in terms of development agreements. You know, as you continue to move north through the site, if you can continue that preservation work, that would be great. Shared parking improvements, create some activity and vibrancy near the station. Starting to get some residents living in the area, and they'll want to come out and do stuff. And you could take advantage of that, you know, with even food trucks or some type
because otherwise the only place for them to go that's close is across the border into Sandy.
Yeah, that's
right. And that's an option that they have it's the only option right there that you have. So bring in a little bit of that back
in. South Jordan would be helpful. Restaurant in there.
Yeah.
Can't they get it's down to like the Market Street area?
They could, but it's not. Or they could just cross right there under I-15 right now and be in Sandy with everything that's right there.
It's still there, but Sandy's more accessible.
And there's more. Yeah, there's a lot of options there. So that's a good piece.
What is the pedestrian bridge over I-15?
Yes, that's the concept, I think, that has been around for quite some time, Mayor. WFRC has been instrumental in trying to look at funding to connect the Southtown Mall site over I-15 and over the Front Runners track line, UP line, and drop it into the South Jordan side near 102 South. Is that approximately?
Yeah, kind of right there where it all comes to a point. That's about the only spot it could really go.
They kind of get really close. And so it's the idea of trying to connect about that Ultradent drive. We have one of these as an example in Utah County at UBU.
Yeah, picture of it amazing. In the plan.
How much did that cost?
A lot.
That was $33 million. I was the planning director down at MAG when that was
being developed.
Oh, really?
That's
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and so we were able to put that money together with partnerships with UDOT and state legislature since they had an interest in UBU. So.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Page 54.
Won't be quite as long of a span as the UBU one, but it'll be significant. You're probably in the $20 million range, I would just guess.
So good for the students.
That bridge started 15 years ago, and it was going to be a BRT pedestrian and an equestrian bridge.
That's right, it sort of
morphed, and the price has gone up, and now we're a pedestrian. But it's been talked about for quite a while.
This is the package. That's the picture. Yeah. It's in your packet.
Okay.
Thank you,
Dustin. It's the rendering.
The conversation about that was resurrected about five years ago, because their current mayor, she's only in her fourth year. 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. It started with Mayor Dolan, and then it kind of lost steam.
It kind of died off, and then Mayor Zoltansky brought that back and said, we really want to work with South Jordan to make this happen. And our team was well-versed in it. They'd all been here when that was a conversation before, but Sandy came and met with us, and we all talked about it.
We've been supportive of it.
Our top priority.
But it's not cities. A top priority, yeah. It's because we felt like it could, a lot of what we can do, could a bus circulator could do what we need. Yeah. And a lot of ways this bridge has been an impediment in getting that circulator started because of the cost of the bridge. So
that's where our personal story comes in. I think, Joe, we were there taking down the booth one night. We were out on the platform that day when I was telling you it was kind of a cold snowstorm. A guy comes up and he's on a scooter and he's a recent amputee in a motorcycle crash up in Idaho, and he's rehabilitating with his mother here in Utah. He's from California. All of his stuff is still in California. He's trying to get over to the climbing gym over near REI. So we're at the station. We're at the Front Runner station, and he's trying to dial up the on-demand service with UTA. Well, what happens to that on-demand service? It gets too busy during the peak AM and PM periods. So he's like, do you guys know how we can get over there? How I can get over there? Should I call an Uber, you know? And he didn't want to spend the money to call an Uber. So we were breaking down at that point in time. So we just put him in our truck and drove him over there. But he's a para-Olympian that's trying to get on the U.S. national team. He was a professional rock climber competing for a rock climbing spot in the U.S. Olympic team. So really interesting guy, but it kind of brought home a face to the problem that here's a guy trying to get directly over there, and it's kind of difficult to get over there when you don't have all your capability that you have. So thanks for indulging me on the personal story.
Thanks for telling us that. No, I'm glad you shared that with us. Thank you.
Yeah. So those are the recommendations, and then these are included in an implementation plan, and then I think the city, you don't have to complete all these, certainly, within the next 5 years, but I think you have to report on the progress of these, to say, have you started to study these? Are you looking at this? Does it work for the city or not? So that's what you'll end up doing 5 years from now. And then document, I think you've all got the document there as well, it looks like, in front of you. So happy to answer any questions?
Any questions about the Front Runner Station Area Plan, South Jordan Front Runner Station Area Plan.
Just where the money's going to come from.
For the bridge.
For any of it.
Just next steps, this will go to the Planning Commission next for their review, and then it'll come back to you for your final adoption.
This could potentially go to the Regional Council in August.
That's our hope.
If the timing lines up.
Yeah.
And if you have comments or things you want to see tweaked or changed or added to, or let us know.
Yeah.
This is the draft, so it's time. This is a good time to...
That's great.
Doesn't seem like there's a lot of available land in that perimeter within the borders. Am I wrong about that?
Page 46 in the draft map has shows a kind of a land availability map. And you're right, council member. You know, there's not much left there. A lot of it's newer buildings. You're not going to redevelop that newer stuff.
Right.
So it's pretty limited with that river corridor as well. Those yellow parcels are the ones that we're identifying as potential development parcels. And then the south side of 106 South up near I-15, now those buildings are a little bit older. Some of the hotel properties up through there, that could be a potential with the right type of development situation. But of course, those are owner-occupied right now, and they're being used, and they're being utilized. So we try to give a broad brush, you know, which parcels do we think would be available for development? And those are those yellow parcels.
Some of them have long-term rents,
yeah,
leases on there, yeah, with their tenants.
Okay. Yep. It's a built out site, but there's still a couple extent, things there. Yeah. Alternate, we spoke with Irwin,
yeah,
I believe, and he was fantastic to meet with us, and they have some infill projects that they have in mind. So you'll see some infill projects. Some of those parking lots may be developed. So some of that may take place.
And Irwin's the current president of Alternet.
Yeah.
Sorry about
that. So, I mean, more manufacturing kind of facilities.
You mentioned office to me. Brian, have you heard anything else?
Yeah, they bought the one office building that was one of the first office buildings there after... what I still call the Altius building, the teardrop-shaped one, but the one that was built. They purchased that one, and then they've talked about maybe needing more room for offices they expand. So we've really tried to encourage them to do a lot of office buildings and different type higher-intensity uses. Manufacturing, I mean, we love Alternet, and that's great, but it's not necessarily the highest and best use of some of that property. But
yeah, I agree.
To find the list specifically, because if memory serves, do we have five that have been certified? We did the one with no changes that we share with West Jordan, and we did that initially because South Jordan's was one for no change, you know, not much change to the area because it's completely built out with homes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next one that very same day, who presented right after I did, had lots of changes to theirs, and so we kind of compared and contrasted why these were different and both, you know, count. And then we just did four together. So that we've done five.
If you count the West Jordan one.
Which we have to. Yeah. So we have done five. We did the one, and then we did the four. And now we just have this one left. This is our last one.
It's just like Sandy here had to do one, even though the station's not in
their
city.
There's a lot of cities that have had to do them with their half partial.
West Jordan
station's not in South Jordan. That have to do that. But yeah, so we have done five stationary plans. This is our last one. That's so good. Thank you so much.
Mayor.
Yeah, appreciate this.
If we have any changes, we're happy to do anything.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. I'm going to ask for a motion to recess our city council study meeting and move us into executive closed session to discuss the character, professional competence, physical, or mental health of an individual. Can I please get a motion for that? So moved. Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're going to move into closed session for a few minutes, and we'll see you guys in a minute.
I'll be back.
Thank you all so much.